Like to read in the book of Romans, please, chapter 15. We're just going to read one verse, then go to the book of Ezra. Romans chapter 15 and verse number 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and hope and of the scriptures might have hope. So it's the opening part of this verse. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. Now let's go to the aforetime. Let's go to Ezra. And the books Ezra and Nehemiah, the main topic, is to do with building. And I'm going to be turning over the pages a lot. So we're going to look at the book of Ezra and consider some of the ways in which God recovered his people. There were three great movements. The first came Zerubbabel. The second was Ezra himself, and then Nehemiah. So when we think of Zerubbabel, he rebuilt the temple. And when we think of Ezra, he reformed the people by teaching. And then you have again the mention of Nehemiah, who reconstructed the walls of Jerusalem. So it's Ezra chapter 1. And we're introduced here to a very interesting man, the king of Persia. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and put it also in writing, saying, Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has charged me to build him an house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Now, one of the most remarkable prophecies that we have is recorded in Isaiah chapter 44. And it's referring to this man, Cyrus, king of Persia, that here we have in Isaiah some 150 years previous to this record that Ezra is writing about. And you'll follow me. It's chapter 44 and verse 28 of Isaiah. That saith of Cyrus, he is my shepherd. Now that's remarkable. And shall perform all my pleasure, even saying to Jerusalem, Thou shalt be built, and to the temple thy foundation shall be laid. So that's a remarkable prophecy by Isaiah, 150 years, even before Cyrus, king of Persia, was born. So here's a man, he was named before his birth. So was Isaac, so was Josiah, and John the Baptist, and the Lord. So five individuals we know at least that were named before they were born. So here we have Cyrus. He has overturned the rule of King Nebuchadnezzar, and he now is the king that is occupying Jerusalem and occupying Babylon, rather. And he has this great concern that the Jews should return to Jerusalem and reconstruct the temple. So we have God using a Gentile. And this is not the first time that God used an individual like this. You have, of course, Pharaoh, who recognized in Joseph something of the qualities that his brethren did not. And you remember it was Pharaoh who said of Joseph, there's none so wise or discreet as thou art. So that was remarkable. That was an idolater who could see something of the spiritual quality in young Joseph. And here we have this man. God obviously is dealing with him. And others have sought to think, well, now, he really had no interest in Jerusalem. He had no interest in reconstructing the temple. But I don't think that's true. And they look at it as a political ploy that he's trying to build up this kind of buffer zone around him and his empire, that he had taken Babylon off King Nebuchadnezzar and he was occupying that place. And the Jews were there. So he was courting their favor. But I see more than that God is really using him. And seeing we have looked at that prophecy in Isaiah 44 and 28, it's remarkable he calls him my shepherd. He calls him his anointed. So Israel had no king at this time. So God is sovereign. So he's dealing with Cyrus, king of Persia. And Look how it reads on. Verse 3. That is Ezra 1. Who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him. Let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is the God which is in Jerusalem. So he recognized something of God, Israel's God. And he's dealing with the Jewish people. And he's giving them that incentive to return. And we find out more than that. He's going to equip them for that return. He's going to furnish them with all the articles that Nebuchadnezzar had robbed from the temple at Jerusalem. And he has kept them. Look at verse number 7. Cyrus the king brought forth the vessels of the house of the Lord, which Nebuchadnezzar had brought out of Jerusalem. Verse 8, even those did Cyrus, king of Persia. So he has this tremendous interest in furnishing them with the necessary things that had been previously taken by Nebuchadnezzar away from Jerusalem. He has preserved them and he has kept them. Now, when you move into chapter 2, we find out here that these are the children of the province that went up out of the captivity. Now, two things that we know about Ezra. We were hearing in worship this morning that the Lord Jesus is the king priest. Well, Ezra was not a king, but he was a priest. We know that from chapter 7 and 1. And he was a scribe. We know that from 7 and verse number 6. And he was the great reformer, whereby Zerubbabel was going to reconstruct and build. Ezra was going to teach the people and settle them down around the word of God. And then Nehemiah would eventually come in an area of about 100 years. All these three men returned, and he was the one that reconstructed the walls. So in chapter 2, there's a whole list of individuals that were stirred up to return all the way from Babylon back to Jerusalem at the encouragement of this man, Cyrus, king of Persia. So the book of Ezra, the book of Nehemiah, is all about constructing. It's all about building. And of course, you and I, when we think of the gospel work, and the Lord Jesus said, I will build my church, we're in the building business too. We may be dealing with spiritual blocks. These men may be dealing with things that are physical, but it's still spiritual. It's all a spiritual work. And so it's very important that we understand something of what is taking place here. It's for the glory of God. And here is this man, the king of Persia, is involved. So you have a whole record of all the different individuals that returned at this particular time. Now go to verse number 62 of chapter 2. These sought their register among those that were reckoned by genealogy. And so it was important, you see, that they would be recognized and that the families would be considered, and they all had their part to play. And the whole congregation, 64 together, was 42,303. You add the singers to that, which I did, and you have 49,897. So 49,897 are willing to make this move all the way from Babylon back to Jerusalem. Zerubbabel would be their head. He is of the lineage of David, the king. And Jeshua, he was in the priestly family. And so these two men are specifically mentioned at the start of chapter 2. Something else I'd like you to know. People of all tribes came. I take it you have that in chapter 6 and verse number 17. More than that, they gave up of all their possessions. Look at verse 69 of chapter 2. They gave after their ability unto the treasure of the work. So you have individuals on the move. They have a goal. They're well focused. They're traveling from Babylon. They're traveling from Babylon back to Jerusalem at the encouragement of the king of Persia, and they're going to reconstruct the temple. Now, as far as I can see, they had to travel approximately 900 miles. The journey took them 4 months, And they had with them 8,136 animals. So you can well understand something of the desire of their heart and the tedious journey and what lay before them. But they were willing to take those steps back to Jerusalem. And as most teachers point out, the seventh month was important with all the different feasts in it. And when the seventh month was come, it seems that they waited for that seventh month. They have arrived. And the children of Israel were in the cities. The people gathered themselves together as one man to Jerusalem. Now, I think this is significant. I think we see individuals here who have come, and individuals who are focused. They are individuals that could keep rank. And they had that goal. Now, you take the 300,000 individuals that assembled to David at Ziklag, and you read about that in 1 Chronicles 12 and 35. They were men of one heart. They could keep rank. So you have quite a force of individuals, of 300,000, who are all doing what they're supposed to do. Keeping rank. Focused. Having that goal. And of course, all these individuals, almost 50,000 of them, that have returned from Babylon down to Jerusalem, they have this goal that we are going to reconstruct the temple. And so they're focused and they're well on their way. Now let's go to verse number 3. Firstly, they began at the altar. They set the altar upon its basis, for fear was upon them because of the people of those countries, and they offered burnt offerings thereon unto the Lord, even burnt offerings morning and evening. Now, I think that really we can draw a principle for this, that they're placing God first. They're starting in the right place. You can't build an altar without having worship and sacrifice in mind. Isn't that true? So they're placing God first. And another thing that we pick up here, for fear was upon them because of the people of the countries. Now, whenever Peter thought of the Lord Jesus, here's what he said. When he was reviled, he reviled not again, but he threatened not. Now here's the key. He committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. He was placing his cause in the hand of God. This is exactly what they're doing. They're placing the altar before God and the enemy. In other words, they're putting God first. They set the altar upon his basis, for fear was upon them because of the people of those countries. So they're honoring God. See? So the altar is between them and the enemy. Them that honor me, I will honor. They're placing God first. So they're leaving the enemy that God would handle the enemy. Now that's a pretty good thing to do. I can learn from that. You can learn from that. In other words, there's no retaliation here. There's not that thought at all. Even in the life of the Lord Jesus, he never retaliated. But he placed his cause in the hand of his God. And so you have that brought out, I think, in that principle. For fear was upon them because of the people of those countries. They knew we can't handle these people, but we'll put God first. And so they started with the altar, and they built that altar, and they offered sacrifices unto God. Now again, when you move down to verse number 7, they gave money also unto the masons and to the carpenters. Then you'll note this, when you move down to verse number 10, and when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord. So you have the altar up, then they move to the foundation, and so you'll understand now that they're working with that which is absolutely necessary. The altar first, then the foundation. And we go down to verse number 11, when they praised the Lord because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. So the foundation was finished. The altar's finished. The foundation is finished. They've made this great movement back all the way from Babylon to Jerusalem. They're focused. They have this goal. They're pulling together. They're individuals who are keeping rank. Everything is going forward. Everything is moving in the right direction. And just like you might say the work at Antioch, when Barnabas saw the hand of God, and he understood that this is God working, and the grace of God was there, and the power of God was there. Everything is going forward. And he goes, gets another builder. He gets the converted Saul of Tarsus, and they work together, and they're teaching. And of course, things are developing nicely in Antioch. And it's not long before a church is established and is founded and is planted. So everything is going well here with all these individuals that have returned all the way from Babylon back to Jerusalem. Now, here's the first little signs of enthusiasm starting to decline. All right? Verse number 12. But many of the priests and Levites and chief of the fathers who were ancient men and had seen the first house, Solomon's temple. Solomon's temple that Nebuchadnezzar had destroyed. They were acquainted with the glory of that first temple. When the foundation of this house was laid before the eyes, they wept with a loud voice. And it seems to be, well, okay, the altar is up and the foundation is up, but it's really lacking the quality of the first temple. See? Now, as far as the young men were concerned, no, they didn't see that first temple. Many shouted aloud for joy. So there was a mixed message going out. Verse 13, so that people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people, for the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar off. As far as the young men were concerned, this was great, this was super, this was going good. We're doing something for God. We've come all the way back. They had no former knowledge at all of Solomon's temple. Now, two things that we can learn from this, two things to avoid in assembly fellowship. One, by the old, dampening the enthusiasm of the young. Dampening the enthusiasm of the young. All of us who are a little bit older, we have that inclination of living in the past. We do. We have that inclination. We have the idea, well, today is not as good as the former day. We do. Now, I want to say something. I don't know too much about Manitoba. I know a little bit about Manitoba, but I know something about southwestern Ontario. In southwestern Ontario, the assemblies have grown considerably. I only know in the last 40 years of one assembly that has been depleted in numbers. All the rest have grown considerably. And at least two planted. So things are going forward. We appreciate that the God of 2007 can do the same thing as the God of 1940, whatever it is. So we have to give God credit for what he is doing. So no matter where we go, the meetings seem to be growing, they're developing in southwestern Ontario. No, we lack maybe the ability of some of the older men. I'm not saying that we're as grand as the older man, but still you have to give God credit for what he is doing. So, I'm older now. Let's not dampen the enthusiasm of the young. Okay? Do not live so much in the past. And then, for our young men and our young sisters, overconfidence by the young. You can be a little overconfident, you know. Rushing ahead. We should do this. We don't want the old ways, eh? So you can have this conflict. Now look, we all need one another. You remember what the Lord said about Israel? I remember thee, the zeal of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness. Remember that? the zeal of thy youth, the love of thine espousals. Youth with its zeal. But the aged people have the wisdom. So we need that. We need the both. We need a little bit of wisdom. We need zeal, see? So to our older men, let's not dampen the enthusiasm of young individuals. Sometimes their approach are on a different line. And we've had to consider that in Ontario too. This is a little different. And where there's no fracture of principles, okay, you can go that way. We're not talking about loosening up our principles or doing things that is an infringement on the Holy Scripture. We're not talking about that. But certainly, we should understand that there are new methods of approach and how we do it and so on. So let's consider that. Now let's go into chapter 4. Now look at 4 and 1. Now when there were adversaries of Judah. Now there are adversaries all over the place. Enemies speaking nice words. Like these fellas had it all. Let us build with you, they said in verse 2. For we seek your God as ye do. Now Zerubbabel is a spokesman. It's always nice, brethren, to say no when it's necessary. We have nothing to do, you have nothing to do with us to build an house unto our God. But we ourselves together will build unto the Lord God of Israel. He takes that stand. But look at 4. Then the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them in building. You will find individuals will trouble you too. And they'll speak nice words. And you must be able to decipher that, you see. And here's a man, Zerubbabel, and he knew. This man, he's speaking nice words. He's not one of us. No, no. And then they hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose. So you who have studied all this, you know what follows. You have a whole section here that is not in chronological order. And you really jump to verse number 24. And this is exactly what happened. Then ceased the work of the house of God which is at Jerusalem. So it ceased unto the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. And they remained idle for 16 years. Ah, now, you see why I was highlighting? Almost 50,000 of them came back. They're determined. They're full of zeal. They're focused. They have the goal. We're going to build. And they start it well. And up goes the altar. And up goes the foundation. And then, boom, it stops. Now, one of the things that we must take into consideration is this. Is starting something and not finishing. Now, there's something that cannot not right. And then you start something else. Not finished. And you start something else and it's not finished. So here are individuals who came back to reconstruct the temple, and we find out because of this problem, because of that problem, now they cease. What about you? Are you going to give up? You can give up as an individual, you know. And there are many excuses why we should give up. And there are many excuses why we shouldn't do this and why we shouldn't do that, and we stop. Right? So it's important, brethren, that we do not cease to do things that is going to ultimately be for the glory of God. And that's exactly, they lost their focus. And they were distracted. Now, verse number 1 of chapter 5. Then the prophets Haggai and Zechariah prophesied unto the Jews that were in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of the God of Israel, even unto them. Okay, so these men really had their work cut out for them. Now let's go to Haggai and see what he said. Chapter 1. I take it that Haggai was the old man and Zechariah was the younger man. Haggai chapter 1. So obviously God has raised them up. So you have individuals now, they've stopped working for some 16 years. So how can we get them back on the job? It'd be pretty tough, wouldn't it? And there's 100 excuses they could make. Well, no, we came all the way back here and we have the altar up and we put up the foundation of the temple. It's not as if we've been idle, you know. And we will get around to that other stuff. And now we can do the same in assembly life. See? We can start off well, and then you can be hindered in what you're doing and your pursuit. And the world has a way of trying us. So let's find out what Haggai's going to tell these people. Haggai 1, verse 1. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel. Here he is. He's raised up by God. He's going to start preaching. Verse 2. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. There you have it. You've got an excuse already. We've done our little bit. Need a little bit more time. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your ceiled or panel houses, and this house lie waste? Now they're not lazy. They're not lazy. No, no. They have been occupied in other things. They have been distracted. They've been taken away from the main pursuit of why they ever came back from Babylon in the first place. They're occupied with their own ways and things. Now, therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You know what Philippians 2:21 says? Here's what it says. For all seek their own, and not the things which are Jesus Christ. For all seek their own, and not the things which are Jesus Christ. The possibility is this, that you're robbing God of time, that you're robbing God of a lot of things. And what was dear to your heart, the assembly, and the building up of it, and the looking after of it, secondary now. Secondary. These individuals, they had been distracted. And Haggai says, consider your ways. Now, did God leave them alone? I do not think so. Verse 7 is repeated, consider your ways. And there had been a lot of calamity, a lot of difficulty has entered in. And Haggai's going to explain that. Verse 9, you looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of mine house that is waste. And ye run every man unto his own house. So you have God disciplining them. He does it in a number of ways. He took away their crops, blasted everything. Look at verse 11. I call for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon man, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of the hands. So it was like putting money into a bag, and there's a hole in it, and it flew out the other end. And that's exactly what God was doing. He was disciplining his people. They were God's people. He's starting to discipline them. So there was no food for man, or no food for their beasts. And God is looking at them, and he is disciplining them. How's God dealing with you recently? You know, sometimes when you read this, you think, well, maybe I did something wrong and I've got this sickness. I'm not suggesting that for a moment. But God does discipline us. He does get his attention. He's got my attention in more than one ways and a lot of different ways. I remember one time I had made up my mind I'd never work overtime and miss an assembly meeting. Well, I was trying that very thing. Foreman come around one night. And I had a big mortgage at that time. We were not long married, and we had three children. And it was prayer meeting night, and he said, would you like to work? And I said, no. I said, it's prayer meeting night. I don't work. Okay. After a little while, I thought about the money I would make and how, you know, I got a young family, and you sort of reason it all out. And it wasn't long before I went back to the foreman and I said, do you still have that ticket? Want somebody to work? He said, yeah, I do. I said, I'll work. Oh, he says, good. So I worked. And you know, within the next 2 days, I had flat tires in the car. I ruined the tire in the front. And it cost more money And immediately I thought, you know what I thought? I thought, well, here I am. God was looking after me all these years and doing this. And I told him, now, I won't work overtime if it's a prayer meeting or a Bible reading. And I went back in that. And I really took that from the Lord. I really did. Verse 13 of chapter 1. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, and the Lord's message unto the people. Now, if there's anything that God's people needs at a time when they're down, and they know when they've done wrong, you know what it is? They want encouragement. And they want reassurance. And that's what Haggai does. There's a beautiful blend to his ministry. Explaining to them what has been taking place and the discipline of God. But look at this in verse 13. I am with you, saith the Lord. It's the reassurance of the Lord's presence. Do you need that today? I am with you, saith the Lord. And again, in verse number 4, be strong, all ye people of, this is chapter 2, of the land, saith the Lord, and work. For I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. So they needed that boost. Now, that's a good way of handling ministry, brethren. You should have a blend to your ministry. We noted that last week, wasn't it, with regards to Paul. He had the care of a nursing mother. And at the same time, he had that heavy hand to discipline them like the father. So here is something now that Haggai is reassuring them. The presence of the Lord. The presence of the Lord. Maybe some of God's people here are so discouraged, and you know you failed. Everybody does at some point in their life. They do. And you're thinking, well, I don't know. I don't know. Look, I am with you, saith the Lord. And then again, be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work. For I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. And then, verse number 5, my spirit remaineth among you. Not nice? My spirit remaineth among you. Fear ye not. Fear ye not. So there's a nice blend to Haggai's ministry. Something else we pick up in this chapter. You remember the old man that were dampening the enthusiasm back there? God addresses them. Verse 3. They looked at Solomon's temple. Now they're looking at Zerubbabel's and they're saying, Zerubbabel's doesn't match Solomon's temple in its glory. God directly speaks through Haggai to them. Verse 3 of chapter 2. Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? Now go down to verse number 9. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than that of the former. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than that of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. Now this was the temple that the Lord Jesus was going to walk on. This was the temple that he would enter. This is the temple where he would sound out his gospel. So don't you think is worthy of the work that was necessary to get going? Now let's go back and find out what happened. We'll zoom right back to the book of Ezra. And it's going to be chapter 6. Will they respond? What can they do? So it's Ezra chapter 6 and verse number 14. You remember how we entered in verse 5, or chapter 5, verse 1? Then the prophets Haggai and the prophet Zechariah prophesied unto the Jews. Okay, 16 years they were idle. The Samaritan harassment had worked. They kept God's people from completing and doing what they had returned from Babylon to Jerusalem to do. Haggai's raised up. Zechariah is raised up. They have a ministry. We picked up a few verses in that ministry. We go back now to chapter 6 and we find out what happened. Verse 14. And the elders of the Jews build it. They're back on target. They're back on the job. And they prospered through the prophesying of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo. So there they are. Haggai, his prophecy lasted for about maybe 3 months. And then I think it's about 30 days, he saw the response. So they were back on the work site. Not good, right back on the work site. And they built it and finished it according to the commandment of the God of Israel. And according to the commandment of Cyrus and Darius and Artaxerxes, king of Persia. And this house was finished on the third day of the month Adar, which was in the sixth year of the reign of Darius the king. 4 years later, after they stopped, it's complete. 4 years later, after they started, they completed. So it's a wonderful achievement. Haggai raised up, Zechariah raised up, they prophesied, they got the men back on the job, and they resumed the building. And in 4 years, it was complete. And then, of course, there came Ezra himself. He reformed and he taught the people. And then came that remarkable man, Nehemiah. And it wasn't long before they reconstructed the walls. And in 52 days, they had the walls up. So you and I have a work to do. We really do. You've come into Assembly Fellowship years ago. You've been baptized. You've been associated with the Lord's people. But maybe you're not just giving it at all. No. Maybe you're holding something back. And you can miss a prayer meeting. You go to the Bible reading, miss the prayer meeting, and you play around like that. Now look, why not give it your all? And some of you have young families coming up. Them that honor me, I will honor. And it's putting God first. That's what it's all about. That's what Haggai's prophecy was all about. Putting God first. And they were putting themselves first, and their own interests first, and their own house first, and their own farms first, and safe. And they had to have that all refocused, all rechanged. And then with the help of God, they get back on the work site, and the temple was complete. So may the Lord help us. And I trust that we've hit on a few things that would be practical for you today. You remember how we started? For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. So may the Lord bless his word.